Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So let's read together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. A sense of awe came over everyone, and the apostles performed many wonders and signs. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They shared with anyone who was in need. With one accord, they continued to meet daily in the temple courts and to break bread from house to house, sharing their meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How exciting things were happening in the church. And this is what the church was doing and what the church was about. So let me show you this picture. There are 12 characteristics of a healthy church, as you can see. Now, this is the summary of what we saw in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So let's see one by one. The first thing was evangelism. What is evangelism? It is sharing the gospel. As you notice in the verse 47, Lord added more people to the church. That means more people were coming to Jesus Christ. More people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ through the wonderful acts and life that churches displayed through their lives. And then the gospel was shared. So there was evangelism. The next one is a discipleship. What is discipleship? You don't want to be a Christian alone. You want to make another Christians. You want to make another people to be the followers of Jesus Christ. And that is done through discipleship, that you make disciples of Jesus Christ. And because of that, there are more members. That's the membership that we see. Now, I'm going to explain more about this membership because this is very different from all the other memberships that we see, like a Costco or BJ memberships. So the membership was the byproduct of evangelism and the discipleship, and very integral part to the church. And then we see the leadership, like apostles and teachers that were teaching the word of God. So we saw the leadership here, and we're going to talk about leadership as well in a few minutes. And then preaching and teaching, those were the major activities the leaders, the teachers were doing for the church to equip the church members. And ordinances, these are including Lord's Supper that we do every week, and also baptism. Now the worship is not just about music, but the worship is an activity that we give our lives and hearts to the Lord, not just on Saturday or Sunday, but every day. So the worship was there every day. Did you notice that in the chapter 2 of Acts? One of the key words is this, every day. Okay, every day they worship together. Now, fellowship. Of course, there was a fellowship. Now, the fellowship that we saw in this passage in chapter 2 is it's kind of radical form, because they say they shared everything that they had, which means they had a one bank account, I suppose. You know, so that was the deep level of fellowship was there in the church. So this is an integral part of the church. And the prayer, of course, they prayed every day. And also accountability and discipline. This is one of the major parts of discipleship. So the word discipline is coming from this word, the discipleship. So that we need to have the people who are watching one another, not to judge one another, but to be accountable for each other. And then there's a giving. You know, this is the integral part of the church. They were sharing everything together in common. Well, how was it possible? Through giving. And lastly, there was a mission. You know, we don't see the missions trip or international missions in this passage, but their life as a church was the mission itself, because more people were coming to Jesus Christ. So this is very closely related to evangelism and the discipleship, but the mission is more in the context of cross-cultural evangelism. So we see these things together, and these 12 characteristics are the most important part of the church, that where the church needs to be. Now, let me ask a question. Is there a building here? No. Is there paid staff here? No. Although those are important for our churches to meet together and to be trained, but in a sense, in the Bible, none of their saying that you need to have the building or professional staff members. Now, the church is a very organic institution, even from the beginning. So I want you to make sure what the church is and what the foundation is looks like. Now, also, I want to point out this. Since the church, as you saw in the 12 characteristics of the church, it is a very, very simple organization, simple institution, which doesn't really necessarily require church building that we normally see, which means it can happen anywhere, even including home. And in fact, there are many parts in the New Testament talks about where these people were meeting, which was home. Now, I really appreciate Brother Miguel. He posted on his Facebook, and I copied the picture that he posted on there. And this is what I found. Where did the church meet? That's a great question. Where was it? Acts 2:46, house to house. Acts 5:42, house to house. Acts 8:3, house after house. Acts 10:22, Cornelius' house. So you see the list there. Mary's house, Jailer's house, Lydia's house, Titus Justice house, and house to house, and Prisca and Nymphia's house. We see a bunch of houses here, right? What does that mean? Even in this one book, the book of Acts, the church were meeting in their homes, in their houses. Of course, there are some parts that they were meeting in the temple courts so that they were more of a corporate worship. But in a sense, the churches were meeting in their homes. So house can be a church. That's the bottom line truth. And it's not just a can be, but the house must be a church. Now, have you ever imagined that your home is the church? So we need to put that in our mind very seriously, because in our traditions for so long time, even including myself, whenever the word church comes up, I automatically link it to the building, the church building. Church got to be a building where the worship band leads the worship, and where the professional pastor preaches on the stage, all the other people are just listening. And, you know, when they are done with the worship service for about 1 hour and an hour and a half, they leave the building, they go back to the home and just live just like the any other days. That's the very typical picture of the church. And of course, you know, some churches, when they meet together, they have a lunch fellowship, and, you know, they have a lot of great fashion show that they wear, they put on the really nice clothes, which has no problem. I'm not against that. Those are very, very important, because it shows the respect. Because when you wear really nice clothes, that you want to express your love for the Lord. You want to do everything. You want to put on the best clothes for the Lord. That's great. Your heart is definitely amazingly beautiful. However, that is not all. The church is not only on Sunday again. The church is not the building. You are the church. And your place, your home, must be a church building that you meet together every day. I'm not saying that you have to meet with other people every day, but at least with your family. You know, your family members must be the church members meeting in your home together. So today, I really want to emphasize on this truth. Your home must be your church building. First, that's where you need to start. So before we talk about microsite church or house churches, how often we should meet, or what kind of church that would be and what we should do, let's just forget about all this logistics. Because if we get this foundation right, I believe that all the details will follow along. So stay tuned and let's be focused. That are the first thing and foremost thing I want to make sure is this: your home must be the church. Your house must be the church building, that your family members are the first church members that you need to have and you need to start with. Okay, so with that in mind, let's look at further. Ephesians 5, 29 through 30, it talks about membership. I mentioned about the membership is one of the 12 characteristics of healthy church. So let's see what it says. Verse 29 says, "Indeed, no one ever hated his own body, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body." Now, the word member in Greek is melos. It means a member belonging to the whole. Now, let's think about the big pie, okay? And the member is a part of that pie. If you take it out, okay, what happens? Something's missing. The huge thing is missing. But this is not a pizza pie, or this is not a normal pie that you consume, but this pie is the holistic pie that should not be broken. It is the whole as a whole. But if you take one out of it, that means the pie is broken, and then the pie is not usable, it's useless. Okay? Now the church is like that pie, unbreakable, inseparable pie that nobody can pull out. So once you are in, you are in. You're locked in because you became a part of that whole body, and that is the right picture of the church. When you talk about membership of the church, which means you joined to Christ, that you are not separable from Christ. You became integral part of Jesus's body. Can you take off your arm and live happily forever? No. You will be handicapped, right? So you need to maintain your holistic body. That is the church. That is the body of Christ. But a lot of people are confused about this membership. They think that church membership is just like a BJ membership. You know, what's the big difference between BJ membership and the church membership? BJ membership, you can be a member for 2 years and 3 years. If you found another one, like a Costco is better, you can pull out from BJ membership and you can make another membership with Costco, right? So you have a flexibility, you have a option that you can put in and you can pull out. Church member is totally different because once you are in, you cannot come out. That is the church membership because you became the organic body, you organic part of the whole living body. So that is the membership the church, the Bible is talking about, because it says member of what? Member of His body. So think very seriously about this church membership. It's not like a joining a group or a club or even a church name or church brand, but you become a part of the bigger body of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian, you are a child of God, and you are the body of Christ, or you are a body of Christ. And also, thinking back to where we are talking about the house church, when you become the member of the house church, that means you are part of that body. And that must have started with your family at your home. Now, with this, we need to return to the New Testament vision of church. Now, we talk about reopening and when do we go back to the building. You know, those are important questions, but not that important questions, because the most important question that we need to ask is how we should return to the New Testament church. It's not about how we should return to normal before pandemic. We need to return to the New Testament church basic. And we need to repent as well. We need to repent of idol of event. What did we do when we were meeting in the church building? You know, in the church building, it's a building. It's nice. It's nice to have a, you know, cool air-conditioned building or a bigger space so that many people can come and we can meet all together. That's awesome. However, when we meet together, we're like, we need to do something. You know, we need to have some activities so that more people can come to our church building and we can have a more great time. So that we take a lot of time in church event. What kind of event will be good to do this summer and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. However, the problem is we have a limited time, we have a limited resources, and we use those limited resources on those programs and events, and we forget about the important things. For example, like going out to share the gospel, being the Jeff and Jennifer that I shared last time, and living out as the body of Christ. Those are the things that we need to really focus on. So let's repent of all the idols of event. Like, we need to have this event, we need to have this kind of program. Let's repent from that. And also, idol of success. Oh, we need to have 100 people in this building. We need to have 200 people or 500 people and 1,000 people in the building and 20,000 people in our Sunday worship gathering. Wow, is that a success? No. No, it is a successful in the worldly eyes, but in God's eyes, no, because never in scripture says you need to have 20,000 people on Sunday. Never. Jesus said, go after one lost sheep. Jesus focused on the one lost sheep so much. So we need to repent from worldly perspective on success. It's not about meeting together in the big building. Never. It's more of making disciples of all nations, even if it's just one person. So we need to repent from this idol of success and also idol of gifted leader. You know, we're so guilty about this. Even I am guilty about this because the church has been so much focused on or depending on less than 10% of whole body of Christ. You know, if you go to the church building, you see only few people are working so hard. Let's say if we have 100 people, only 5 people are doing a lot of things. In church, the pastor is preaching like 25 minutes and 30 minutes, and all the other people are just quiet. It's only one person speaking, only one person studying the Bible, and all the rest are just listening. You know, that is the idol of gifted leader. Of course, it's good to have a gifted leader, and God gives people, and God gives gifts to the people to serve, but doesn't mean that people, all the other people are to depending on this gifted leader. No, the gifted leaders are there to equip the saints to do the work of service, Ephesians 4:12, so that we should not idolize or depend on gifted leader. If we have done, I'm sure we have done that, we need to repent from that. Lastly, idol of business. When we are in the church building, imagine and remember, and Saturday, Sunday, we got so busy because there are so many things going on in the building to maintain the building, to keep up doing some things. We need to fill up. We need to check all the list of laundry lists. We need to finish up. We caught up with so much of a busy schedule, and we need to repent from that idol of business. So we need to repent all these 3-4 things as we move on as the body of Christ through this house church. Now, leadership role. So every believer ministering the gospel. Again, we should not depend on the gifted few leaders, but all of us, including you who are watching this video, must activate your faith through reaching out and sharing the gospel, because every believer, every Christian, which means if you are a Christian, you need to minister the gospel. You need to share the gospel. And caring for the vulnerable. Of course, Jesus Christ cared for us. Likewise, we need to care for one another. As we do like a grocery bag every Saturday, you know, that's a great illustration, example of what we need to, how we can care for one another. It's not just a few of us, again, but you need to care for other people as well, wherever you are. And a pastor's equipping the saints. Again, I'm a pastor, so we have a few pastors, very few elders. Not everyone has to be a pastor. Not everyone has to become elder because there are gifted leaders. But again, we should not idolize the gifted leaders because gifted leaders are there to what? To equip the saints. So I'm here to equip you, and I'll do whatever I can to equip you to be used by God through house church that we are doing. Again, do not worry about all this house church thing because you may think, oh, I don't know what's going on and I don't know what kind of... Actually, you just be yourself. That's all you need to do. And use your house as the church with your family first. That's the fundamental thing, and there's nothing you need to really change or add up. But as we move on, I will do my best to equip you for God's kingdom to be established through you and through your home. Now, 21st century Moses, this is our overall vision. So the vision that we, the DNA we have is a leadership development. We want to raise up 21st century Moses to bring their people to Jesus Christ. And, you know, the basic idea is what I just mentioned about this. That it's nothing new concept. This is an old concept. This is the biblical concept that God wants us to become 21st century Moses, the spiritual leaders, disciple makers, so that we can make disciples of all nations. But instead of coming to the building, instead of depending on one leader, You do the things. You become 21st century Moses, where in your home, in your workplaces, wherever you are, that you exercise the spiritual gifts God has given you so that you can bring more people to Jesus Christ. So I do believe that this house church would be a great platform, great tool for you to become 21st century Moses and to exercise the God-given gift that you can employ for His kingdom every day, not just on Saturday. All right. So meeting at home, it's going to be a very simple church. Now, it's not going to be like a meeting of the building, because when you think about this, when you are in the building, what happens? You need to have a really great professional worship music band, and you need to have a really gifted speaker to preach for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Otherwise, people will just move around and all. So we need to have those professional things. Now, that is not the simple church the Bible is talking about. Bible never said you need to have the professional worship band or professional gifted speaker. You just be the church wherever you are in your church. So it should be a very simple. It's too simple enough so that anybody can copy and multiply. Of course, there must be integrity of God's word, so that you need to have the solid Bible teaching, and there should be a prayer. There should be, it's a church. It's not a fake church. It is a church where the Holy Spirit resides and Holy Spirit leads. So your church, your home must be the church, but it should be simple church. Simple, very simple, that anybody can copy and multiply for God's glory. So throughout, for the next few weeks to come, my hope and desire is to show how simple this could be. Now, even in our worship service, we're doing every week through Zoom. Now, instead of playing guitar myself, I show many times the YouTube video. Why am I doing this? Because anybody can play YouTube, right, for worship music. So that's just one example that I just wanted to show you how simple this could be. In your home, when you are worshiping, you can just sing songs without instruments. It doesn't matter. But if you want to have some instrument, you can use YouTube as a tool so that, you know, you can just play music, sing together. So how simple that is. And also, I'm going to show you how you can do the teaching or the studying of the Bible together in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. So this is what we're going to do, the Bible study. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to spend some time how we can study the Bible together at home. Very simple. It is a read. R-E-A-D. Now, R stands for read. So read the passage. Read the scripture passage together at least three times, because if you read it just one time, you may not understand what's going on. But pray together and read the passage again. And read the passage again, even until you understand what God is speaking to you. So read the passage continually together in your home. Now, in your home, you might have your children or your spouses. It's okay. Doesn't matter how many people you have. You might have just one more, so two people together. That's fine. Three people, that's fine. Just yourself, well, that's fine. But you can invite other people to your home if you want to have this meeting in your home. But read the Bible together. Now, if you cannot read scripture, there's a great resources out there that you can listen to the scripture passage. So there's so many different resources that will be helpful for you that you can do it in your places. So again, read the passage together and pray that the Lord would give you understanding of that passage. Second, E is engage. As you read, after you read, you need to engage with the text. Now, there are four basic questions that you need to ask each time you read. The first question is this: who is God in this passage? Who is God this passage is talking about? Second question is, who is the world? Now, God is holy, God is perfect, but also as you look at in the passage, the scripture, always the passage reveals what's inside of us, the sinful nature in us. So you need to see what sin that you spot, identify this passage. What is the world? So it's more of a negative minus the element that you need to find. identify. And then third question is, what is the church? Who is the church? Now, church are us, the redeemed people by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how this church is different from the world in this passage. And then lastly, what is God speaking to me from this passage? Very important, because if you learn all these first three questions, but if it doesn't speak anything about your life, then how can you connect it to your, how can it be relevant to your life? If there's no relevance, then there's no connection. And if there's no connection, then there's no transformation. There's no change. So we need to really listen very carefully what God is speaking to us through this passage. So read and engage. And last one, this third one is A is apply. So what should I do as a response? So you learned what God is speaking to you through this passage, so that you need to know what you need to do. What should I do based on this? And lastly, when you get it, do it. If you don't do anything about what you learned, then there's no change, right? It will be just the head knowledge and head information, and it doesn't change anything. So we need to apply and do. So remember this method, read, R-E-A-D, read, engage, apply, and do. So let's do some practice. Actually, this passage is something that I needed to preach on today. But, if I preach, it will be just good for me that it will be just one person studying all this passage and preaching on it. So you can get some blessing out of this message. I'm not doubting about that. And also, I'm going to continue to preach as I used to do. But today specifically, I want to show you as an example how you can actually study and prepare this message if you need to preach or teach for your church people. Again, not everyone needs to be a preacher. And not everyone needs to be a teacher, right? So you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach all the time. However, at least you need to know how to study scripture so that whenever you are asked, you should be able to articulate and communicate with other people. You can show how to study the Bible to other people so you can multiply yourself. So that's something that I want to really communicate with you through this. So let's read this passage three times, and we're going to go through the READ as I showed. So let's read. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, for the time being, I'm just going to read the one time, but when you are doing this by yourself, again, read at least about three times. So that's the first part, read, R, and the second part is E, which is engaging. So let's engage this text. Who is God in this passage? In verse 6, it says, under God's mighty hand, which means God is mighty, and his hand is mighty. He can do anything. And he says, he may lift you up in due time. That means he will, he may, he can, he has the power to lift you up in due time, right? And also in the verse 7, he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's who is God? God is the one who cares for you. Wow, this is amazing truth. So even in these two verses, we can see an amazing truth about who God is. Now, the second question was, do you remember? Who is the world? Now, we see here in verse 7, cast all your anxiety. That means there is an anxiety, right? The world is full of anxiety and depression as we see these days because of COVID-19. We see all these things, okay? And also in verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. Okay, so who is the world? The world is a place where devil, enemy, is prowling around, right? So we see that what's going on in this darkness. Now also, let's move on to the third question. Third question is, who is the church? So it's about the people who are redeemed. So going back to verse 6 and 7, it's to humble yourself. The church humbles herself. And verse 7, cast all your anxiety. Church casts all her anxiety on God. And verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. So the church is alert and of sober mind. So we can see, we can break into those three questions and, you know, connect from this passage to get the answer. So who is God, who is the world, and who is the church? We got all these answers. And then the last question was what is God speaking to you? So to me personally, you know, as I read this passage, I'm like, you know, I've been having some worries in my mind about future, about what I do. But here is what I need to do, that I need to humble myself and I need to cast all my anxiety on God alone, because He really cares about me, cares for me. So I need to believe in His love for me. Okay, so that's the engage part. And then next part is what? Next part is the apply part. So how should I apply this to my life? So I want to set this week, at least for 7 days, 7 days for the next 7 days, I want to practice myself that I will really cast my anxiety on the Lord. So I will not worry. Instead of worrying about all these things, I want to start my day with prayer, more prayer, so that I will not be dismayed by all the Satan's deceitful words to worry me. And do, that's the last part. So instead of just talking about it, I will actually do, so that I will not worry about these things anymore. So you see, as you can see, these are the things that we can all practice at home. This is not really the difficult thing at all. This is something that you can do at home with your family members. So please take this very seriously and think about the church that you can do anywhere, even starting from today, and build God's kingdom in your family, in your church first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, there are so many things that worries me, but Father, we want to know more about your plan, that this house that you have given us, the family that you have given us, are the first church members that we need to take care. So Father, please help us and guide us and give us wisdom how we can move forward with this, so that ultimately we can see that ourselves would become 21st century Moses and make other 21st century Moses in our homes, so that they will multiply themselves for your kingdom, Lord. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name I prayed. Amen.